Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
You know, the What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz in. It's time for me to bring in one of my friends, a very special guest. He used to be part of the duo of Backpack and Yoda, Roy Backpack Baron. What's up, my man?
Hey, great to be on your show. Great to hear from you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. So how are you doing? I know you've made the cross-country move, and you're taking care of some stuff, and you got a new book coming out. Give us the update on what's going on with you, and what are you looking at, and what are you doing?
Well, I came out to take care of my parents for a bit, and actually running for president of the United States in 2016. It's a really bold move, but I have a book out called Looking Glass Shattered. It's available for free on Amazon Kindle this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, April 2nd and the 3rd. You can get it for free there. And also my website, roybaron.com, to learn more about presidential positions. But one of the things that's been great is all these interviews I've been doing over the years. And I'm going to look towards bringing at least making offers to people that I've interviewed positions in the administration, including yourself.
I'm going to be the, can I be the Secretary of Defense though? Because I want to go out and get them people.
Well, I'll make offers. I've had some incredible interviews with people, so definitely want to put it on the plate. So love to see you and help you to bring aboard some changes. We've talked about this before, that the country really needs a revolution. So I'm calling it the American Revolution 2.0.
Well, and I do agree with that, actually. So how are you going to get on all the ballots? Tell us how that's going to work, because you know I tried that. And it's a very big challenge. How are we going to get you elected?
Oh, that's a great question. I am looking to see with all that's going on with the, I guess I have to use the word bumblings in the current run. I think that there's going to be a broker convention in Cleveland, Ohio, in July. So I think they're. Might be an opportunity to run on the Republican ticket. I'm just putting it out there. So we'll see what happens. But there's been a lot of controversy this year. I think this is the year for the outsider candidate, and I consider myself the outsider of the outsiders. So that's why I'm putting myself out there.
Yeah, well, why not? Look, I put myself out there. I couldn't get past it. And it was, you know, it's unfortunately, which is why we may have this revolution eventually, is that you can't. The establishment, or the so-called establishment, is so stuck in there that it's hard to get them out. And that, I think, is a bigger problem, Mr. Backpack. And so, you know, in all of your travels and in your book, the Shattered Glass, tell us about the book. What's in the book?
Well, it represents, this is great to have this interview on April the 1st, 2016, because it's my five-year anniversary. I got rid of all my stuff, gave it to churches and charities, and started hiking with everything I own in one backpack. And this is celebrating the five-year anniversary. Great to be on the Bubba Show with you, Todd Bubba Horowitz, today. And so I just started hiking with not a lot of plans. I had a lot of money saved up and no debt at the time. So I just started hiking the Appalachian Trail, and I made it my own unique way and just started crisscrossing the coast. And originally, things just started evolving, and I kept changing the book, probably rewritten the book about 30 to 40 times now over the 5 years. And originally, it wasn't political. It was about more of a how to work on myself, how can I get out of the cobweb cubicle. So I emerged from that and just interviewing thousands of people now from coast to coast, from San Diego to Maine and back and forth again. And now I'm in Georgia enjoying the more interviews with people and living in hostels and homeless shelters and unique ways. So I'm still don't have a zip code. I tell people I'd be the first homeless candidate for president. And it's really true. So with all of that, breathing all that in and living on buses and all kinds of unusual situations, in trailers and Winnebagos and pop-up tents and homeless shelters, I bring a unique filter into this Oval Office.
Well, yeah, and you need a home, too, so that you have actually a place to live.
Yeah, that's true.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so the Oval Office would be the first place I've actually had an address in a while, in 5 years.
So
quite an experience.
So what did you do? What was your original background before you became who you are now? What did you do? How did you save your money? What were you doing for a job? What was your career? Give us a little background about that.
Oh, those are great questions. I've worked for federal, state, and local governments. I've done Meals on Wheels for 6 months, and I worked for the CDC for over 2 years, Center for Disease Control. As a quality assurance expert, I started my career as a business administration out of the University of Tennessee. Then I got a degree in computer science and really took off with quality assurance. And quality assurance is very similar to being a street cop, is what I've learned. And it's looking at organizations and how can we really cut the bloated government and how can we cut waste. So I've been hired on in a lot of businesses as a quality assurance. And at the bottom of quality assurance is really ethics, how to be ethical and how to lead the country. So I've got over 15 years working for Fortune 500, such as AT&T. I was a project manager there in quality and wide diversity from government to Fortune 500, meeting with CEOs and interviewing the downtrodden homeless. So it's quite an incredible background, but a very, very strong quality, and I'm looking to bring that to Washington, actually bring quality there and bring a really good team. So that's a big part of my background.
So, you know, when you were working, and so what made you decide to get out of the rat race?
Well, I started filling all these cobwebs. I like the alliteration. So it's a cobweb cubicle commando. My book is called Looking Glass Shattered, Cubicle Commando to Constitutional and Conservative Leader. So lots of good C words in there. But these cobwebs started surrounding me, and I was 42 at the time. I'm 47 now on my five-year anniversary. So I really decided I can't take this anymore. I was making $80,000 a year. I've always been very simple-minded. I haven't been a big spender, so I've saved up a bunch of money. I had about $80,000 saved up and no debt. And I said, well, I'm just going to start hiking the Appalachian Trail, which I've always had a dream to do the whole trail. In my book, I talk about where I did it a unique way. I did 1 month and 100 miles. But a big part of this journey for me has been alternating between the wilderness and the cities and back and forth and interviewing people in the country on the trails and also in the cities to really get the full spectrum of America. You know, what does it mean to be an American? I really learned that both the hard way and the easy way.
So as we talk about it, you know, and we've talked about, you know, many different subjects over the, you know, the past couple of years when you were doing the show with Yoda, and we've, you know, had a lot of, you've interviewed and talked to a lot of Army guys, a lot of general guys, and, you know, I want to get into some of that stuff and get your views as you've now, you know, kind of spread your wings out a little bit now, and you're kind of crisscrossing the country back the other way, and you know, what your plans would be, you know, for the country should you be elected, and what you would like to see done anyways. But what we're going to do now is we're going to step out here for a break. I'm visiting with Roy Backpack Baron, and he has the name because he did give up everything and went backpacking throughout the country. And make sure you check out BubbaTrading.com to get involved in our hedging program, as well as if you want to be now one of the over 200,000 people who download this show, all you have to do is go to LibertyTalk.fm every single day. The show is uploaded. You get a chance to listen to it. And, of course, we're trying now, working on 300,000. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm visiting with Roy Backpack Baron. We'll be back right after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Roy, turn off the lights. We're going to lose our minds tonight.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Roy Backpack Baron, a friend of mine, and pretty much a man about town. As he said, hasn't had a place to live in 5 years and has kind of just lived off the land and the ground and his savings. So, all right, Roy, so if you were elected or even you're not elected, what are the things in your mind that need to be changed in this country to make America better? We know America's always great, but how are we going to make it better?
Well, one of the things is our federal government has just gotten way out of hand. I'm looking to bring everything back to we the people, but I have a metaphorical sledgehammer that I would bring to several agencies, including the IRS. I would talk about how I've been talking about that on RoyBarron.com. Just destroy the IRS, and if you make between zero and 40,000, there's you wouldn't pay any tax, and for 40 to 100,000, it's 10% tax, and 100 to 250,000, it's a 15% tax, and make it very reasonable and easy at a third grade level how to do your taxes. But a big part of what I would be doing is destroying a lot of these federal agencies with a metaphorical sledgehammer. So that I think all of us have gotten to the point where the states have been losing a lot of their power and taking a really fine line, a meeting with all the 50 governors and deciding what things need to be moved back to the states, which the states really know what's best for each state. So a big part of this is there has been a lot of talk about the constitutional state, COS type of agenda. But I think there are significant things that states need to rise up and take power. So there are times when the federal government has had to step in, and it's appropriate things like when we had used to have in the 50s during segregation, we did need the federal government for that. But and that was it never would have happened without the federal government. But we've really got to look at a fine line. And I think the governors would step up to the plate and help negotiate between what needs to go back to states and what should be federal. But there's significant concern about what's called the globalists. George Soros is one of the names that's thrown around a lot. And how do we look at making sure that we're still the United States and we have our borders and become remain a country? So there's significant concern with all the refugees and immigrants coming in. I have a really strong stance on that to bring a halt to all refugees for at least 3 years and look at helping Americans. So right now, 63% of Americans can't afford a $500 bill of any kind. You know, that's just unbelievable that 63, I have to repeat it, 63% of Americans can't afford a $500 bill. So part of my refugee plan is why do we want to bring more people in when there's so much struggling and suffering among Americans? And I've seen it firsthand as I've traveled the United States. So those are some of the big things to really take a look at. It's I am immigrant family. My grandparents came here, but just because immigration was good in the past doesn't mean it's good right now. We have a lot of healing to do and helping our own people. So taking a really fine line at what programs need to not exist. I also have a national service program I put a lot of work into that, where it's going to bring jobs back to Americans. And I have a hashtag called Nation Build USA. So I'm looking to cut aid to all the other countries and bring the aid back here to the United States. So we really need to focus on how do we nation build the United States instead of all these other places. So those are all a lot of the big things that I have on the plate.
Now, I've been a guy that keeps saying that, you know, obviously I'm a traitor and I keep hearing numbers and I keep saying bullshit. Those numbers are not accurate. And the middle class is really struggling. Now, you've traveled the country. Now, would you agree that the middle class is struggling? And where would you say out of your travels are struggling the most?
Those are great questions. Well, some of the places I've seen include Oregon, a lot of huge tent cities where you walk in, you think it really is a third world country, what we're looking at. Oh, places like Oregon and Arizona and Texas, I've seen a lot of struggling where people can't, I mean, I emphasize again, if you can't afford a $500 bill of any kind, and it's 63%, we're turning it to a third world status. But I've seen it from coast to coast, honestly, that middle class is shrinking and the poor class is rising. So we've got to make some really hard changes in the future. In 2016, that the president that gets in that seat, and I'm offering myself as a candidate for that, has really hard changes and it's got to bring in some really deep cuts as we approach the $20 trillion deficit mark, which is unbelievable, unprecedented, so to speak. So tremendous suffering among the middle class.
Well, you know, as you say, there's a lot of hard changes, but now how are we going to make those changes? You know, I mean, obviously the president by himself cannot just arbitrarily make changes. And you've mentioned, you know, going back to the states, but how do you get the crooked congressmen and senators on board with all this? And how do you get a president that's going to get on board with this unless if it's not you?
Well, a big part of it is to say we have reached the kick down. I call it the kick the can down the road policy. That's all we've been doing for the last 20 years is keep kicking the can down the road. But it's our children and our grandchildren that are being faced with this. But one of the big things is right now the U.S. government is spending close to $1,600 for a toilet seat, and which you can buy at a Home Depot for $10, the same toilet seat. So a big part of this is there's so much waste. We're not going to necessarily get out of our problems by just taxing, increasing taxes as Bernie Sanders wants to do at 90% tax rate. But we're just going to end up, if the government's spending outrageous fees for basic things. So a big part of it is which I've already laid out the tax plan, but also how do we deal with our spending that's gone out of control when we're spending on, we have a $4.1 trillion spending bill that's coming up that a lot of people aren't, and there's tremendous pork in it, but convincing Congress would be to say, I would bring in a giant picture of every congressman's children and their grandchildren into the Congress and say, you've got to look at this picture every single day. And we are no longer kicking the can down the road. We're fixing it now. And we're not going to leave this room until we fix these problems. So everything boils down to taxing and spending. Those are the two big words. So how do we improve on both making sure the middle class are not taxed? And that's part of my plan is if you make between zero and 40,000, there's no tax. And between 40 and 200,000, you make a 50, you pay a 10% tax. So that's a big relievement of that. If we reach a point where we tax the hell out of people too much, they're going to end up on welfare. So there's a fine line, too, between taxing and ruining the incentive for work ethic. So one of the big problems we have with people like Sanders and the socialists is that they're destroying our work ethic. We're going to raise entire generations of people that won't want to work because they'll feel better off to be on socialism, on the welfare.
Well, I agree with that because that's, you know, it's sad, but you know, when you want to take away and you get to a certain point, you're going to pay so much taxes. So I just say, okay, well, I'll work until I get to that point that I'm going to quit. Okay. Now I'm going to ask you a question and you'll give me your answer when we come back from the break. We are with Roy Backpack Baron. And again, the book is called?
Looking Glass Shattered, Cubicle Commando to Constitutional Conservative Leader.
Okay. And, you know, Roy is big on social media. And your Twitter handle is?
It's My Human Compass with over 64,000 people following that.
So, all right. Now, I have a thought that if the... if you're on an entitlement program, which is not Social Security, because Social Security is a program you paid for yourself, you put money in, so that's not entitlement. But any other entitlement program, if you're on an entitlement program, you should not have the right to vote until you come off, because basically the Democrats right now are buying the vote of people that are on entitlements, because if they didn't have them, and there's many people, unfortunately, that are capable of working that are not working because of that. But when we come back, Roy's going to give us his answer to that question. This is the Bubba Show. We are with Roy Backpack Baron, and want to make sure you check out our friends at Thinkorswim, built by traders for traders. You know, every day they've got swim lessons that help teach you a little bit about the markets and how they trade and about how to use their platform, as well as check out BubbaTrading.com and check out the new programs. We've got new classes starting next week on futures, on options, and on hedging. Also, when you miss an episode, be one of the now over 200,000 people that go and download this show every day, okay, at libertytalk.fm. That is libertytalk.fm. Plus, we've got a whole bunch of other network programming you can check out. This is The Bubba Show. Todd, Bubba Horowitz. We're going to stop by here for a break, and we will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
How about you?
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Roy Backpack Baron. Looking through the shattered glass, the commando cubicle, whatever it was. But this guy knows it, and he'll give you the name again. But Roy, okay, so I say that if you're on an entitlement program, that you should not have the right to vote until you go back into the working class, into the working America, because otherwise all you're doing is getting an entitlement from the government, which is saying, hey, you don't have to work. We'll pay you. Just stay home. What's your answer? How do we fix it? And what do you think?
Yeah, I like that. I like the idea of if whatever it takes to get people back working again. The work ethic is really concerning. I think a really good analogy in the history of the world is take a look at East Germany. And, you know, for the longest time, there was the wall up, and they were controlled by the USSR, which is all communism, and they don't believe in work ethic. So it wasn't until 1989 that East Germany became free, when the wall, in the 89 to 91 period, when the wall came down. And then, so there was entire generations of kids in East Germany that were all on this entitlement communism. You know, you have to wait in line for whatever time to get your toilet paper, for example, or basic necessities. But now you see East Germany still struggles, if you take a hard look at that. So whatever it takes, I would agree with you, Bubba, that if it includes not being able to vote if you're on entitlements, I would agree with that. Whatever it takes to bring back work ethic. We're in a desperate situation here in the United States. We do have a lot of kids coming out of college that can't find jobs, and Starbucks was never meant to be a career, but now suddenly all these people are looking at going to work at Starbucks as a big career. Unfortunately, they have college degrees as well, and they're saddled with $40,000-$50,000 debt. But underneath all this is desperate need to get back a work ethic and get jobs here. My national service program is designed to be, it's meant to be for people that it's totally privatized and it's voluntary, but it will bring jobs back, and it'll do aptitude tests on people to see what areas that they would excel in, whether it's English or other things. But it's not going to be a socialized program. It's going to be companies like Lockheed Martin, which I've worked for, or Northrop Grumman is a company I've worked for before. They would be able to bid on contracts to get people good quality jobs back, but it's all privatized, so none of this would be a socialized program. So it's kind of the opposite of what Bernie Sanders is proposing, letting contractors control these jobs, but still taking a hard look so we're not paying $1,600 for toilet seats.
Now,
so I agree with what you're saying. Whatever it takes to get our work ethic back, which we're really in desperate need of right now.
I couldn't agree with you more that our work ethic is pretty poor. And of course, every time there's contracts, they're a bit. But now, how do we solve the problem of the crooked contracts, right? So, you know, obviously right now, who is the final stamp of approval? So if you say we want privatizing, and I agree with privatizing, I mean, we've seen what FedEx and UPS can do with when they privatize delivery service for mail. They do nothing but make money, whereas our post office is nothing but lose money. But who's the final say that selects the bid? How do you do that process?
Well, that's a great question. I did watch a show recently about the inspector generals. We have a lot of them in D.C., but unfortunately, it seems as if nobody's listening to them. So for this type of national service program to work, we've got to bring in some really good inspector generals, and we've got to start firing people once again. We never really hear of people getting fired. I worked for the federal government for the Centers for Disease Control for over 2 years, and people who would actually come up to me and say they would never get fired, and they'd brag about it. They'd come in late, take two-hour lunch breaks. It was ridiculous. They knew as a, we call them FTE or full-time employees, that they can just do whatever they want. So a big part of it is really inspector generals have these incredible reports, but following through on them, we've got to make sure this is what quality assurance, all the things that I've been trained on, such as Six Sigma, quality assurance. There's so much out there that we've never seen any candidate run on this quality ticket, whether it's Trump, Carson, or any of these guys, or Hillary or Sanders. None of them know quality like I do, and nobody's talking about it. So I'm bringing up a whole new thing, a new generation of really hard quality. But it's not just inspector generals creating reports that nobody acts on. It's making them get enacted upon. Right now, we're shipping engines to Afghanistan. It's getting stolen by the Taliban, and these are on the taxpayer's dime. I'd rather create engines here and just give them to Americans to have. These are just outrageous things that are happening. Inspector generals are reporting the problems in Afghanistan, but nobody's listening to their reports. So that's a big part of this, is a desperate need for quality assurance, quality control in government, and that's what I'm offering on the ticket in 2016 as president that nobody else is talking about.
Well, yeah, because, again, they're more interested in stealing the money. I mean, that's really more what it comes down to is, you know, going back to our Federal Reserve and to our government. It's always about how much they can get, how much their constituents can give to them, and where they can glom on to that kind of cash. Now, you know, I was sitting with somebody in New York, and they said, you know, well, you know, the United States is actually a business, and it should be run like a company. And, you know, if you agree with that, which I do, what do you think? Do you think the United States is a business?
Well, that's a good question. I think a lot of people have been upset because there's been some court rulings that a corporation is considered the same as a person, that they have the same exact rights. And a lot of people would say that, no, I don't agree with that. So what it's being run as a socialism type thing. That's where it's been evolving through under the horrible Obama nation in the last almost 8 years now that Obama's been in control. And what's the big fear is if the Democrats get in control, it's just going to be totally a socialist / communist nation that we're running into. So I would say we're less a business as a more of a socialistic federal government is just getting way out of control. It's just got too much power.
But do you think that it should be run as a business?
I would say yes, but with really heavy quality control. Every company I work for, AT&T, CDC, I worked for their quality assurance department. So I was hired on to bring really strong recommendations on how to, and the core of that is ethics. But I would say, yes, it should be run as a business, but also it should be very heavy quality assurance. And I recommend all your listeners go check out Six Sigma, all the processes that bring quality. There's a lot of them out there. And, you know, it's all there, but nobody's paying attention to quality. I would say, yes, we're run as a business, but we don't have the quality nearly we need. That's why we have $1,600 toilet seats that should cost $99 at Home Depot.
Right. No, I agree with that. So this guy says to me, he says, well, okay, if we paid the president like we pay a normal CEO, you know, Jamie Dimon makes $30 million a year, he'd whip it into shape. And, you know, does that sound reasonable to you, or is that unreasonable to you?
Well, that would be unreasonable to pay the president that much money. I think it should be a reasonable salary. But I would want to insert as much business type of aspects in it. But I would also, as I said before, huge quality. We have a long ways to go before we have a quality federal government. And that's what I'm planning on bringing in through the use of inspector general's reports and through actual making changes from a quality type of mind. I'll tell you one thing, as I worked in business, a lot of people don't like quality. They know they need to have a quality assurance department, but they really don't like it because a lot of it's all about the almighty dollar fear and greed is a lot more of what runs a business than quality.
Well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I agree wholeheartedly with the business, but I would say, even the businesses really don't like quality, though, because I know it from 15 years of working in businesses.
Well, I mean, we know that. Look at all you have to do is look at the hospitals. You pay $77 for an aspirin that costs about 2 cents. So, I mean, we know about all the bad acts that go on, which is what's really, I think one of the biggest things that have hurt this country over the years is everybody's trying to glom on everybody else. And it was all that easy money, you know, those big contracts you're talking about, but at every level. And, you know, even at local government, you know, if you get in with the guy, you get the best bid, you get the contract and you get to make the money. And that's one of the problems. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I do agree. I mean, there are some of the Raptor airplanes and things like that that are just way blown out of proportion of what they're costing. And so there are, I mean, it goes along with the toilet seat comment. I bring that up because it's a real world thing. But, you know, so it shouldn't cost that. I would even go so far as, I like to think outside the box, but even working with Goodwill, maybe there's some products we could buy for the federal government that are, that's about as cheap as you can get on the market is the Goodwill products. But whatever it takes to bring back quality to government is a huge necessity right now.
Oh, I would agree with that. Again, we're in agreement on a lot of the topics. So we are with Roy, Backpack Baron. Gave up his job 5 years ago and backpacked all over the place. Had his own radio show for a little while. And is now back taking care of his dad, good son that he is. And, you know, it's interesting to get a perspective because, you know, we talk a lot about this on the show right here about, you know, the middle class and what's going on. And Roy has been out among them and has not, you know, earned any money, has lived in trees and hostels and in homeless shelters and has done a lot of good for his country and for himself. And I think that you have to, you know, kind of understand what he's looking at. We're going to step out here for a break. We are with Roy Backpack Baron. At My Human Compass on Twitter, and he's got 64,000 followers. Check him out. This is The Bubba Show. Make sure when you miss an episode, libertytalk.fm every day. You can be among the now over 200,000 people that are downloading the show. And of course, we've got a full slate of other shows there for you as well. But we're going to stop by here for a break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will be right back and conclude our day with Mr. Roy Backpack Baron. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Roy Backpack Baron, the infamous Backpack and Yoda, but we got the backpack here. So, Backpack, now, you know, obviously a lot of things we used to talk about were terrorism, and I think it's very, very scary in this country, and you were out among it. You were out, saw some of the cells. You've told us about it often. What are your concerns in that area now that we continue to avoid and ignore, and our president continues to basically not even acknowledge that they exist?
Oh, great question. I was actually undercover in Atlanta at one time for a couple months. I lived with a Sudanese tribe that were refugee immigrants. So I'm one of the only presidential candidates who's actually lived with the refugees. And I've seen how they're destroying America. There was a whole, I talk more about it in my book, Looking Glass Shattered. You can learn more about it. But so I've seen why I'm calling a halt for at least 3 years. These people are coming in. They're still fighting tribally when they come here to the United States. They're still living as Muslims. They're 7th century type of thinking. My policy is if you're not 21st century type of person, we don't want you here in the United States. And I can say that as an immigrant, and I can back it up as a guy who lived a couple months with a Sudanese Muslim tribe. So having my background is very unique. My grandparents, both sides, came here in the 1920s through Ellis Island and made it happen. But so a big part of it is we got to halt this refugee, and I agree we got to also build a wall. It's more than a wall, though. We have to also destroy the tunnels, and we have to take out the cartels. We have to do a lot of painful things, but I can't stand what happened to Kate Steinle. Could have been any of us in San Francisco. She was just gunned down by an illegal, and that could have been me or any of us here listening to the show today. So I cannot allow anybody to be taken down by either a refugee, immigrant, illegal, or migrant. I throw all those words together because they're pretty much all the same. One of my things that I've come up with is I think we've got to get back to having look at having different countries take ownership of the world map and doing the best we can to stomp out this 7th century Muslim Islam, the way they treat the women and everything. So I've always been very against the Muslim Islam. I realize also that many of them have served and died. They're at Arlington Cemetery, as we've learned from recent presidential debates, but I also want to say that they're also doing some horrific things. So they've got a it's fundamental to Muslim if people study that. And recently talked to Robert Spencer, director of Jihad Watch. You can catch that on the Voices of Global Freedom on YouTube. Really compelling interview. But so there's a lot of things that we've got to do to protect Americans. We've got to close the sanctuary cities. We can't have another person die needlessly like Kate Steinle. We've got to build the wall, and we've got to deport as many of the 11 million illegals as we can. It's a gargantuan task, but we just do the best we can at making sure that all of us are still breathing the next day. So that's a big part of this journey. I've learned a tremendous amount of how to protect this country over the years and talking to law enforcement, military, and intel.
So what do we need to do from the other side? Do we need to go wipe out ISIS? Is that something we need to do now?
Yeah, I've come up with a very unique plan on wiping out ISIS. I think we've got to sit down with and go back to colonial times. I've even talked to Africans when I lived undercover for a couple months with the refugees here in the United States. And a lot of them, they're not happy here. They just want to go back to their country. They miss the colonial times. So I think as president in 2016, I would sit down with all the main world leaders and say, we're going back to colonial times, and we're going to have this military dictator is going to control Saudi Arabia. Another dictator will control Yemen or Sudan. So it's going to be broken down. We're going to go back to colonial times. I see no other solution. That's not a kick the can down the road. It's actually bringing back the colonial ways. I think that's the only way we can really save it, and I think it could prevent World War III. So it's a very bold move, but it's what I feel that we need to do.
Well, again, because it's very dangerous now. Are you where in this country would you say the biggest sleeper cells are for ISIS?
Well, a lot of them are unfortunately in the mosques, and we've had talks with Claire Lopez, former CIA, and mosques are not what people think they are. They're not like churches. A lot of them are allowed to have guns and ammunition in these mosques, and some of them are covert mosques we wouldn't even know. But the one of the things from last year that we talked to Robert Spencer, who was there, had to go into a safe room in Garland, Texas. These two guys, terrorists who were gunned down immediately in Garland, Texas, they were very active members of that Islamic mosque in Phoenix. So one of the things I would do immediately as president, the first day I would, is allow the FBI and our enforcement to actually put the words Islam, Muslim, and terror together. Right now, Obama doesn't do that, and it's really destroying our national security. They're not allowed to talk about it in their briefings. He's preventing that. And so that's one of the first things I would put in to protect ourselves. So our biggest danger points, as I pointed out, what happened in Garland, Texas, and other places, is we got to really take a hard look at mosques. They have been the flashpoint, and the San Bernardino, look at that mosque there. And unfortunately, Obama is promoting Islam and Muslim, and it's putting all of us at huge risk.
So when you look at the overall the big scope, and we've got obviously some of these problems, and we need to get them taken care of. What do you do first after your summit and you get everybody there? What's your next step in this country?
Well, the first thing is getting jobs back. I see it as a national security crisis. If we got so many people unemployed, as we talked about earlier, if Starbucks is considered a career role, we've got to really look at how can we bring jobs back. I've listened carefully about tariffs, and I know there's a fine line between what we tariff and a country. Tariffs can actually create wars. So I've studied the Great Depression, 1929, extensively, and I do believe we are headed into that. So it's going to take some bold moves. This national service program, I recommend everybody go to roybarron.com. Take a look at what I'm proposing. It's a privatized program, and it's voluntary, but it's also what's going to be needed to pull us out of this depression. It's a different version than what FDR did, but there's parallels going on. I do see us going into this times of 1929 and 2016 are very similar. We've talked about this before. Is that the stock market is a Ponzi scheme? It shouldn't even be this high. I would say if the Dow was at 11,000, is more of what I would expect it to be at. It's just I know, for example, Exxon bought a lot of their own stock back, at least $1 billion. So when companies buy back their own stock, some of this is what pushes up the market when it's really not supposed to be this high. So it's going to take some bold moves, and I'm looking at nation building in the United States. I'm going to cut all aid to other countries, and the only aid I wanted to contribute to is the United States. You can check out the hashtag NationBuildUSA to learn more about the types of things I'm going to be doing, but I think we're in desperate times where we can't afford to be helping out these countries. The money has to come back here to the United States, help out the people here. There's so much suffering. And if 63% of Americans can't afford a $500 bill of any kind, we can't be helping out other countries at this point.
All right, Roy, give us your Twitter handle. Give us the way where we can follow you. We're coming to the end here, and I want everybody to know if they're interested, how to get through to you. Go ahead. Give it up.
Go to Twitter at My Human Compass, and you can check me out on Facebook at RDB Live at GFN. You can just Google Roy Backpack Barron. You'll find a bunch of hits, roybarron.com. Also looking to have a new show called conservativetalking.com, working on eventually putting that together, which will be ways people can talk to me. And one of the great things that I've, and it's necessary in 2016, is to be very social media savvy. So I'm offering this ability to converse, and I get a lot of my ideas from social media. I'm really active listening, hearing from people. So it's been a great opportunity. Thank you, Todd Bubba Horowitz, for hearing me, and vote for me in 2016 as president.
I got you, my brother. If I don't write my own name in, I'll put your name in there. This has been Roy Backpack Barron. Always good to talk to you, Roy. I appreciate it. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure if you miss an episode, libertytalk.fm. You can download it there. Make sure you check out bubbatrading.com as we continue to keep you updated and help not only investors in the equity market, but farmers as well. That'll do it for today. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Thank you so much for being here, everybody. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Good night, everybody.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.